I think it's Jonah. If you'll turn over to Jonah, actually I'm sure it is. We'll get started this morning. Get these little notepads out of here. We're going to look this morning, Lord willing. There's some more little notes. Look this morning at, of course, Jonah had a special assignment God gave him. And a commission. And had a plan for him. But Jonah also had to pack up and move, had to take a trip. Sometimes before we take a trip, like we just did, and I was thinking about that, you got to prepare for the journey, make preparation. And I know we got ready to go, and of course packed up things we thought we needed to take, and came back with more than what we left with. I don't know how that happens, but my brother went out there and he stuck some kind of saw in the back, not like a regular saw, some kind of saw. I'm sure John or Pastor know, some of you men would know, but it's like for cutting, you can cut things at angles with it. Let's see, radial saw, and you can turn it and tilt it. Miter saw, yeah. And so it was sitting in the back. I don't have one. I don't know why he gave it to me. I guess he wanted me to lose some fingers or something. I don't know. But he had it, and he stuck it in the back, and we went to load or put some more stuff in it. And Kim said, "Where's this big saw back here?" She said, "Well," and I said, "we had stuff piled up." Then another family member I hadn't seen for years. She'd been like my dad's first cousin, so she's on up in years. She gave the girls three or four homemade quilts. So you pile them in there. And anyway, of course, they wrapped up in a lot of those on the way back. But sometimes you leave with not as much as you come back with. In other words, talking about your baggage, but we always make preparation and pack. And so that's what we'll look today a little bit at. Some things that you need to take with you, especially when you're serving the Lord. And I thought it was appropriate, especially with our visitation coming up this Saturday. Sometimes we get down, or maybe get out, and down and out sometimes, or don't have the energy, and just spiritually feel like, I know, already been mentioned today, we need to pray for Sister Teresa. She can't get out and do that she could before, and she did so much, especially with the kids, and need to pray for her and pray for one another, and kind of look at the compassion that God had on Jonah and the people of Nineveh and entire our time of need. So I'll look here and we'll read. We're really going to focus on verses 10 through 17, but we'll read all of chapter 1 there in Jonah. And again, we're talking about this morning a commission that God gave Jonah, a special assignment, so to speak, and go talk to the folks of Nineveh. Now, remember, these Assyrians in Nineveh, and it's really made up of the population was several different, I guess, nationalities, but you think about the Assyrians in general, they were a wicked people. Now, as far as the world is concerned, and you go back and look at the city of Nineveh, and if you just looked at it through like what the world would consider a successful city, in all appearances, it had everything that you could want, that the flesh could want. Evident had beautiful gardens, walkways, had wide streets, beautiful walls, surrounded the city, and they were decorated. So from appearances, when you walked in, it just really, really had a nice appearance to it. You'd say, oh, this might be a place where we want to live and raise a family and et cetera. But that's not always what's on the inside, so to speak. It looked good, but it was a wicked, wicked place. And I tell you that, I think about the story my father-in-law told me when he was in the military. They were, he happened to be there when they put the Berlin Wall up. And part of his assignment, he was a platoon sergeant, I guess, is that as they were going down the street, and as he tells it I told you all this before, but like with a rope, so to speak, or a wire to separate East Berlin from West, he had to watch the Russians on the other side, their assignment was, and if anybody tried to get under the wire to escape, if they were trying to shoot them, he was supposed to take them out on the other side, the other soldiers. So it was a lot of stress. And he said, just sad day, you go out for a loaf of bread and 10-minute run, you come back, that wire's past you, well, you can't get back over to your family. They'd shoot you. And so anyway, he was telling them that they had to go in over to East Berlin after that and to make like a friendly visits. He said they drive down the street, and he said from television it looked like East Berlin was really successful, all these buildings. And And, you know, he said, you'd see it on a television and, of course, black and white, but it looked like all had these huge buildings and hotels and just skyscrapers, what I was trying to think of. He said they'd take that army truck and they'd hang a left or whatever on a street. Of course, they'd have a guide or whatever if they'd take a left on a block, and all of a sudden they'd look behind those buildings and what they thought were buildings, and they were just more or less like a Hollywood set. It was empty. Behind those things were just burned out buildings, places left after World War II, never been repaired, never fixed. But as the television cameras would go through, they'd only take a photo, and people back home or in Russia or wherever in the States would see a East Berlin that was thriving. But he said as you turn, you'd look behind it and you'd say, no, wait a second, that's the same thing you'd see in Hollywood. It's just a set. There's nothing to it. You can't go into a building. It looks like it has a door, but it doesn't. And so I say that because as we look, that's how Nineveh was. It had all appearances, looked like the place to be, but it was rotten on the inside. And that's important to know because Jonah doesn't want to go. He knows that as well. And so you guys already know that, I'm sure, but just kind of set that back in your mind as we read. But then we're going to look at as Jonah prepares for his trip, and also we're going to look at the people he went with, the other ones that he rode with. I'm talking about the other ones on the ship. The mariners, I think, is what the Bible refers to them as. These men that's hardened seamen, and just see how God's mercy on them as well. Sometimes we always think about Jonah. Let's look at these men as well. Now, I've already talked too much. Let's read. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Of course, God knew all that I just described anyway. He knew it was just wicked place, no matter what the appearances to the eye looked, but the interior was wicked. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And I remember Billy Mitchell, I'll never forget him one time, he read that verse, and he was using it for something else, but I remember the comment he made, said, well, you knew then Jonah was a Baptist, because the Lord said go this way, and he went the other. And I'll never forget him saying that, but that's exactly kind of what happened. Jonah, the Lord said go one way, Jonah went the other. He didn't want to, he didn't go the way the Lord wanted him to go. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, so trying to run from him. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And, of course, if you find, and we won't take time to do that, but also look in verse 3, he said, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. Anytime you go down, you're going away from the Lord. You go through and read that in the Scripture, and you'll see where any of the men of God, they're going down. It speaks about going down or going away from or went down. They're in turn, they're getting away from God. And so you find that out in Scripture. That's a study that we've done sometimes. It's been some time back, a few years back, when we went and looked at that phrase, went down. But so just keep that in mind. So he's going away from God and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Really bad storm. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God. That's going to be important later. They cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. That's always puzzled me. I need to study that out more. But Jonah was running from God. In one of the worst storms that we find described in the Bible, yet he lay asleep. And you know, just I guess what I think of, you think about it as a Christian, you'd be, you know, you're troubled. And especially if you're doing something, you know, out of God's will. And it is hard to sleep in those times. And so I wonder, you know, a lot of times you find yourself up in the middle of the night praying, Lord, is this what you'd have me to do? You're studying, reading the Scripture. But I find here Jonah sound asleep. So he must have felt pretty confident about his decision to go away from God, to do opposite of what God wanted him to do, because he's asleep and everybody else are throwing everything overboard. Hopefully the ship won't break apart. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? So he must have thought the same thing. He said, he's down there sleeping. He said, arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And what people art thou? In other words, they had a lot of questions for him. They said, it looks like we're going to die. And you got to remember, when he says mariners here, and you go back and study that out, that's hardened seamen. That's not like, you know, just these men that rented a boat just to go across the sea. I mean, that's their job. That's what they do every day. And so for them to be this concerned, it had to be a bad storm. And so they've got all these questions for him. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord of God, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, What hast thou done this? For the men knew that he'd fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. See, I take that back to this statement here. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. And just briefly there. And of course, that's little g. So he told them before he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. But see, they had their own gods. That is, until they got in this storm. And then they realized that, wait a minute. My gods with the little g, maybe we need to go talk to this fella. Because maybe he's the one that's causing the problem. Maybe it's his God that we need to be worshiping. Maybe it's his God that somebody needs to get in contact with. Maybe this fella can do that. So he'd already told them what he was doing, but at the time, see, it was probably a sunny day. Waves weren't rough. You know, I got photos I should show you, I guess. When we went fishing down in Florida, there was one day we went, and the bay was like glass. Never seen it, just as steel. I mean, it was like a bathwater if you'd never stepped in it. I mean, I don't know how it got that calm. But the other two times we went, boy, it was rough waves, and they was hitting against the dock and the pier, and they splashing up on you, and different atmosphere, had a different, take on it. And that's kind of how these men were here. And so now they're asking Jonah all these questions, and what's going on? And as you can see those, he said, where'd you come from? What is our country? What people art thou? He said, what hast thou done? Then verse number 11 said, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempest. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. So now Jonah, he realizes and knows, he says, well, the Lord wanted me to do this, I went the other direction. And if you go back here, and we won't read all into that, but he did not care for the Assyrians or for the city of Nineveh. He knew how wicked they were. So nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. In other words, they weren't about to throw him overboard. They were going to do all they could to try to save him and everyone else. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempest against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord. Now, if you notice, see, that's what I mentioned earlier about their gods. And then when they realized Jonah served the Lord and his God, or the God of Israel, now all of a sudden their attitude changes as well. You know. He said, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempest against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us his innocent blood. Lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. The whole attitude changed. And we're going to look at that in just a second, how God had mercy on these men as well as Jonah, just from being in the presence of Jonah and what they saw going on in his life. It changed their way of thinking, so to speak. It changed their hearts. It changed their attitude. You don't see here where it says, and offered sacrifice unto their gods, with the little g again, but that's who they was praying to over in verse number 5. But see how sometimes they got in trouble, so to speak. Got up against it, so to speak. And then their attitude changed, their approach changed. So now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, and we're going to stop there. We're not going any further. But as we look and we start to take a trip and we go back to the first of chapter 1, there were some things Jonah needed to take with him. And as you pack your bags, you know, we got ready to go for our trip, and Kim more so, I guess, and the girls, because they don't really care. Maggie and Jesse, you know, they just put their hair up and throw a T-shirt on and pants, and they're ready to go. Of course, Kim, she's got two bags and plus another bag and side bags, and And you know, I think if I remember, maybe Luis and I had one bag between us, and the girls might have had one bag between them. And then Kim comes out, and I thought we was catching a plane. I said, I thought we were driving. And she's got these bags you roll and stuff. No, help me with these. And I thought, well, where did all these come from? Well, just a few items we need. Don't know what you'll need when you get down there, is what she says. And I says, well, you know, they've got stores you can go buy something if you need it. But anyway, we just say that to poke fun at her. So we get everything, you get packed up. But spiritually, what do we need? We're going to go out and visit on Saturday, getting ready for the Christmas program here. We've got a Christmas dinner coming up. We have a lot of people in the church be coming by to visit for the program. But also this time of year, a lot of people invite family in. They're at the church. They're coming for maybe morning service, maybe Wednesday night, Sunday night. So there's some things we need to pack, make sure we've got with us. And again, we always make sure at home when Kim leaves, she says, all right, girls, you got your toothbrushes. And there's just some certain items you got to have. And of course, we tell Luis to leave that spray stuff at home, whatever he sprays on himself sometimes. We don't want any of that. That's 8 hours in the van with that cologne. We'll have to ride with the windows down and freeze to death, trying to get that smell out of there. Of course, he thinks it's the best thing ever. But that's right. Smells good to him, though. So we give him a hard time, but there's some things such as faith you have to take with you. And if we go out on Saturday, we'll need faith that the Lord will lead us to the house that we need to be at, or to maybe have the right words to say, or maybe that home that the children, they're looking for a church for the family, or the family be willing to say, yes, take a little Johnny or little Susie or whatever the name is, and come by and pick them up. Put them on the church van, and then maybe the family starts coming. So we have to have faith. And as Pastor tells us a lot, sometimes we never see and I think Kyle mentioned this in a message he had on a Sunday night, we may never see the fruits of what the church may do, or what you may do, or what you may say. You know, Pastor, one of the first things he said when we started visitation, he said, always leave the door open for the next person. Because we may just get the door cracked and our foot in it, but somebody else may come along from another church. Maybe somebody on their job. Somebody else has been a witness for them. So we got to have faith that we may not see that, but at the same time, that's something we have to pack and be ready to take with us. It's a core thing you got to have. It's not something you can buy when you get there. But you got to take it with you. It's got to be indwelling. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us, not only as individuals, but as a church and as a group. And, you know, I think about that too. Sister Heather and Sister Brooke, they head up the feeding of the folks in the community, the Thanksgiving meals they had, and also each month. And there's several people working that and deliver that. And a lot of the ones that work on the bus ministries help with that as well. I know Sister Teresa, I thought about that a while ago. Many times after vacation Bible school, sometimes they'll give us coupons, places will, Arby's and places, and they'd want us to put a good amount. And I said, well, I don't have enough to give to all the kids because they wouldn't give you that many. So I'd have to set them aside. And Sister Teresa said, always at the end of the week, you got any of those left? I'd say, yes. She said, well, I'm going to use those to feed the kids on the Sundays. She said, what I'll use those for, she said, is I can stretch those out through the year and get them a lunch. She said, I'll take them to Arby's and we'll use those and we'll go to Burger King, wherever it may be. She just, you know, those places, they won't give you 100, but they might give you 20. So she could use that, and that's what she did. In other words, so she was prepared, though. And she went that way. She was packed. So that's something we got to think about, is our faith. And as we begin to go out and visit this Saturday. Another thing you got to take with you, and you got to be, and actually I've got it mentioned here, if I can find it. I thought I had it marked, and I do. You got to be diligent. You got to be willing to keep at it. And that's something we see these mariners were too. They didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. They tried to row, tried to get the boat, tried to get the ship over to land. They just couldn't make it. Waves were too high. Wind was too boisterous. It just wouldn't move, wouldn't go. But they put forth all their effort into it to try to get him over there. And finally, they realized this is not going to work. We're going to throw him overboard, just like he said. So if we look here, faith is one thing we need to take with us as Christians when we go out. And that's not only visitations, but every day when we come to church, everything we do. And as we look and see diligence, and we're told in 2 Peter, and I thought I had it in here, I just marked 2 Peter, and I knew it was in here somewhere. As I began to read and study, and I'd read it, and I said, oh, I'll remember that. And here it is. It said, according as his divine power hath given us unto all things, this is chapter 1, that pertain unto life and godliness to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So here's some things that we need to pack and take with us. So faith is the first thing you need to have. You're gonna carry it with you. So whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so here's a packing list, so to speak. And beside this, giving all diligence, all effort, everything you got. You know, sometimes I relate this to Luis or Jesse. You know, sometimes they'll be in one of these ball games or something, and they'll say, the coach will tell them, say, don't leave anything on the table. Give it all you got, 110%. I said, well, that's how we need to be, as we go out and give all effort to whatever we do, doing for the Lord. We need to give it all we got. If we work for God in what direction He'd have you go, no matter what it'd be. You know, who was that was preaching? I think it was during the revival. A comment was made, said, if you're stocking the shelves, you need to be the best store stocker shelf they got. Best person putting those up. No matter what you do, you need to give you all. So right here it says, beside this, giving all diligence, and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, before we go out anywhere, we need to have these items packed and ready to go. As we saw Jonah here, Jonah was, as we hear today, they'd say he was in the flesh. He didn't like Nineveh, didn't like the Assyrians. And now, before we get on Jonah too much, and we won't go into a lot of detail, go back and you can read in historical accounts in Josephus. The Assyrians were brutal too. They might have had this beautiful city, and I already told you all the corruption and a lot of evil going on in the city, just anything you can imagine and think of like any big city would be. But they were also ruthless. So when they'd take over a land or other peoples, they'd incorporate what they wanted, and then they'd kill the others or enslave them. So that's, and a lot of times that was the Jews who were the subject of those overthrows, I guess. And so that's another reason why Jonah didn't like them. They had killed his people, had enslaved them. So they were cruel. And he knew they, as far as, I guess, a battle went, they had no mercy on anybody they faced. And so there were some items there we saw in 2 Peter that you need to be sure you got packed and take with you. And see, those are things that we can work on, that we can take. See, those are things that daily as we read and we go through our lives and we study and pray, we can ask the Lord to help us with. You know, patience was listed in there. And charity, loving kindness, you know, things that we can work on and take. It's not like, well, I hope I get that. It's not like we were going down the road and Kim said, well, I hope some of that stuff found its way into the luggage. I hope we all have a brush to brush our hair or toothbrush or whatever it may be to brush our teeth. I hope it found its way in there. Maybe Jesse and Louise thought to put theirs in there without me having to tell them, without me giving them any instruction. If that was the case, they would have rode down there with the clothes they had on and worn them for 4 days, because that's just how they operate. They wouldn't have thought, though, I got to change clothes tomorrow. You know, we were down there and we stopped off in Murfreesboro and stayed to make the trip a little shorter. And Louise and I got up and run like in one of those little turkey things they call, little turkey trots. They wasn't knowing what they called it, but it was a little thing. We got up early that morning, and Kim had told him, said, well, you'll have to take a shower when you get back. Why? She said, well, because we got about 2.5-3 more hours to ride in the van with you. Oh, well, I guess we're going to take something with me. See, and that's what 2 Peter there is telling us as well. Here's some other things that you can add. I can't remember, I think that was Darius that preached a message on that one time, talking about these are items that the Lord's just not going to give you. He gives you the instruction here, but things you can work on, you can add, you can take with you. And that's what we see here in Jonah. Jonah didn't do that. Jonah just, oh, I'm not going, and he left. But these are some items, faith, diligence, in which we see later Jonah has. He traveled that whole city, preaching, getting the gospel out, doing exactly what God told him. He was diligent. He'd stand up, proclaim the gospel, what we would say is the gospel today. He told them about God, told them what was going to happen to that city and the wickedness that they were in. Last but not least there, and we'll look, then we're going to look, and for sake of time, I'll go quickly, and we'll talk about these men that God had mercy on and compassion as well. You got to have a willingness to go. And for sake of time, we won't turn to Scripture. I had some over in Acts talking about Paul, and Paul was willing to go. wherever God sent him, he was willing to go. He's willing to sit in a jail cell. He's willing to be there. He was willing to do what God would have him do. He didn't say, well, you sure that's what you want me to do? Or he might have asked, I don't know. But Paul had a willingness to get to go to the Gentiles and to preach the gospel. And if you notice, even in times when he might have had conflict, so to speak, or maybe with others, maybe he and Peter might have had a little disagreement or things come up, he still put God's first in what direction he'd have for the church and himself. So you got to have faith, diligence. You got to have a willingness to go. You think about it, I thought about this. Go back and read over in Matthew, Christ, his willingness to go to the cross to die for our sins. That's right. He went. He had a willingness to go. That was the plan. He knew that. Just like Paul knew to get the message and the gospel out. What I was going to go back over and read was over where Paul runs across, over in Athens. And of course, talking to the Greeks, well, all these great philosophers and things, the way I think of, and all the different gods they've got. And he stops, and just in my mind, I picture him stopping at that one little monument or statue that he's got that says, to the unknown God. And he says, right here is the one you need to be praying to. It reminds me a lot of these mariners. They all had their gods. And see, evidently, these all are together. It says to his God, so it must have been more than just one. It's not like they all worshiped one little idol. All of them had several different religions they worshiped. So that leads me into this, then we'll be finished. Let me check my time. I wanted to get this. Just got a few minutes. God had compassion on Jonah. He did. He gave Jonah like a second chance, so to speak. He got Jonah's attention. And so we know that, and we won't go back and read on that, but I want to go back and look and say, God's compassion is expressed, toward whom he will. Because when you read here these mariners, you would think, you're just thinking through that and saying, well, they were praying to their own gods, little gods. They had no concern of God, or the God, things of God, or the Lord. But Lord had compassion on them. And let me just read you a couple. Well, for sake of time, we'll go through, and I'll finish this up. Let me look here and see. I was going to read over in Isaiah sometime. Go back over and read in chapter 40. Go back and read over in Romans sometimes, chapter 9, just some things. I should have just jotted those down, and I spent a lot of time in the beginning. So I will. Let me just read this over in Romans real quick for you. And you stay where you're at and just kind of get you. He had compassion. So what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. That's verse 14 in Romans chapter 9. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then is it not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And as he looked at these men, and it's where we were, and we find ourselves still sometimes, but especially we talk about sinners and the lost. Maybe some that we go visit this Saturday. And again, we can be this way as well, because Jonah would fit this bill. And I jotted these things down. God can show compassion when we're weary, worn out, don't seem like we can take another step. Sometimes when we're tempted, God shows us compassion. Gives us a way out, so to speak. Reminds us of things. I think about a lot, it says that verse, think on these things. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are good report. You think on these things. That whole verse there in Philippians. When we're helpless, like these men were. These men couldn't do anything else. It says right there. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempest against them. They had done everything. And then over here, what was it saying on the other side? It said, cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. They tried everything they could. They were tired. They'd probably been up all night. They were weary. They were helpless. Had to call out to God. See, you notice that change in them so much. When I read this and was praying about it, we think of Jonah, and that's fine, because Jonah goes in, the city of Nineveh is saved, and it shows how God got his attention. And again, we said Jonah, God said go one way, and he went the other. But what about these mariners? That now here we see they offer sacrifice to God at the end. Last but not least, sorrowful. So sometimes when we're sorrowful, we're helpless, maybe tempted, and we're weary. We don't want to take another step. We don't see the end. You know, you look around at the world, and if you're not careful, you just drop your shoulders and say, "And why are we doing this? The world's going to pot. Does it really make a difference?" And see, I think about that's how sometimes we're in there, we're rowing, just like those mariners are going. But you know what? As we see on down through there, said they did what God had asked them to do. Then in verse 16, the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. In other words, they said, "Lord, you're in control. You're in command." To them, tossing Jonah overboard wasn't the thing to do. But to God, that's what He commanded. That's what He wanted. Now, I'm not saying we go out and we toss people overboard, but I'm not saying that. But these mariners, they followed that instruction. They did what God had wanted them to do. Of course, God knew that beforehand. But they were already tired. They were worn out. Last but not least, said God offers this to the multitude. So there were more than just one mariner. It was more than just Jonah on the ship and more than just one other person to help him run it. But everyone. Christ died on the cross for everyone, for the sins of everyone. That's hard to imagine sometimes and think about, but we know it's true. And that's the same way here with these men. And you say, well, God's compassion is sovereign and it's unfailing. And even to these men who never knew about God, they must have at some point heard about Him because they knew that that's who Jonah worshipped, the God of Israel. Their compassion was not directly directed toward Jonah in the beginning. They had to have their, eyes open, so to speak, attitude changed. And as you go through there and you read, and you go back and read in chapter 2, of course, that's Jonah's prayer, and then Jonah's second commission goes over in chapter 3. But in the midst of a storm, if Jonah, and I think if you go back, especially if you read in chapter 2, I think Jonah at that time, he had his, and I think about it as a luggage or a bag, I think he opened it up and there he found faith. Then he was diligent and he was willing to go. And that's things that we need to take with us this Saturday. You need to take with us when you go to work tomorrow. You need to bring with us when we come to church. And I know sometimes we're going to get weary, helpless, sorrowful, some of those other things I jotted down there and we talked about. Things that these mariners were, but you know what? As long as you've got faith, you got it tucked away and you got it out, you're diligent, you're following the will of the God, the will of the Lord, the will of God, and you're willing to go. That's all I've got this morning. Spend a little time there to get around, visit, and thank you for your attention. And think about that as you pack your bags, spiritual bags, spiritual luggage, things to carry with you.